This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Last week, farmers and ranchers across the country helped celebrate Earth Day by reflecting on agriculture's environmental achievements, such as the 44% decline in cropland erosion since 1982. And then there's the 360% increase in crop yields per acre since 1950, allowing us to feed more people with less land, water, fuel, and other resources. These and other great examples of farmers' environmental stewardship make me proud of our constant efforts to do better for our farms and the land that many of us want to hand off in even better condition to the next generation of our farm families. They also make me glad that we have access to modern agricultural technology that enables us to farm more efficiently and reap those environmental benefits. Farmers have reduced pesticide use by 379 million pounds since the advent of GMOs in the mid-1990s. Because of biotechnology, more farmers can use conservation tillage, preserving topsoil and reducing runoff into waterways. Unfortunately, those environmental benefits are under threat from efforts such as mandatory labeling requirements meant to scare consumers, shrink the market for foods that contain ingredients produced from biotech crops, and, ultimately, weaken any incentive to invest in research and development on new biotech traits that would deliver additional benefits for the environment. Key senators are working now to reach a compromise on national GMO labeling standards to head off the state-by-state patchwork of labeling rules starting in Vermont. It is crucial that our elected officials set a national standard to ensure that one state's misguided requirement does not stop agricultural innovation across the country. Let's continue celebrating Earth Day 2016 by contacting our senators and letting them know that GMO labeling is an important issue for farmers and ranchers. We need a national voluntary labeling standard now that stops states like Vermont from putting modern agricultural technology and ongoing environmental improvement at risk. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration has published a final rule establishing procedures for handling retaliation complaints under the Food and Drug Administration's Food Safety Modernization Act. The final rule also explains the burdens of proof, remedies, and statute of limitations similar to other whistleblower protection statutes that OSHA administers. In 2014, OSHA published an interim final rule and requested public comments. This final rule responds to those comments, clarifies the agency's policy regarding approval of settlement agreements, and improves consistency with the language of the statute, other OSHA whistleblower regulations, and developments in applicable case law. AFBF is reviewing the final rule. The American Farm Bureau Federation supports farmers' access to weed management tools and is developing comments to submit to the Environmental Protection Agency in support of Monsanto's petition to extend the use of dicamba for use on dicamba-tolerant cotton and soybeans. Comments are due April 30th. On Thursday, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit declined to grant rehearing by the full court on the question of which court has jurisdiction to review legal challenges to the Waters of the U.S. rule. In February, a panel of three Sixth Circuit judges ruled that jurisdiction belongs in that court and not in the district courts. The panel was split, however, with three separate opinions, two of which stated that a proper reading of the Clean Water Act puts jurisdiction in the district courts. The decision thus only increased the uncertainty over which court properly has jurisdiction to review the rule. Absent review by the U.S. Supreme Court, the ruling theoretically clears the way for the Sixth Circuit to decide the merits of the numerous lawsuits challenging the rule. It is expected that the Environmental Protection Agency will promptly seek dismissal of all pending district court cases. However, two other courts of appeal, the 11th and the 10th, have been asked to consider the same jurisdictional question in separate appeals. If either of those courts concludes that jurisdiction lies in the district courts, there will be a split among the circuits crying out for Supreme Court review of the question. Meanwhile, AFBF and the other litigants challenging the rule are deciding whether to seek Supreme Court review or proceed to the merits in the Sixth Circuit. The Illinois Milk Promotion Board is seeking Illinois dairy farmers to serve as directors on the IMPB Board of Directors. Interested persons must be active dairy farmers from either District 1 or District 3. Prospective dairy farmer directors for the District 1 seat must be from Carroll, DeKalb, Lee, Joe Davis, Ogle, Stevenson, Whiteside, or Winnebago counties. Prospective dairy farmer directors for the District 3 seat must be from Bond, Calhoun, Christian, Clinton, Green, Jersey, Morgan, Pike, Sangamon, Scott, Macoupin, Madison, or Montgomery counties. The Illinois Milk Producers Board is comprised completely of dairy farmers and oversees the investment of the 10-cent checkoff received from farmers' milk checks. Totaling nearly $2 million each year, the IMPB invests checkoff funds with qualified organizations which conduct research, promotion, and advertising and nutrition education programs within the state of Illinois. Any farmer who has an interest in serving as a director should contact Jim Fraley, manager of the IMPB, at fraley@ilfb.org or by calling him at 309-557-3109. Complete petitions must be postmarked by July 1st, 2016. The election will be conducted by a mailed-in ballot during the first 2 weeks of August. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.